Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults by adults containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
You make a great impression online, let me say that. Tell her she's doing good to us.
I will let her know that.
Hey, I don't like many people, and I like less even just meeting them online. So it's a small miracle.
All right.
She's awesome.
She is. Absolutely.
I know you know this. It's more like, son of a bitch, I really like this lady.
I suspect cool. Ariel might be aware of that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I got to put a ring on it, man.
I just thought that's because Beyonce told you to.
Both. It's good advice.
Yeah.
There should be all sorts of things that Beyonce could, like just Beyonce quote. I bet there's probably a whole website dedicated to it.
She should make some sort of song advice about investing in your 401k.
Yeah, damn right.
This feels like
get that employer match.
This feels like the opening of a Full of Sound and Fury podcast if I ever heard one.
As we age, Beyonce to help us with other aspects of our lives.
Exactly.
Beyonce Knowles is going to help us get our taxes won.
That's right. Beyonce, is it 50, 55, 60? When do we really start segueing over from stocks to bonds? Best way, which countries are going downhill?
Only those with economies.
Wow. You're in the proud.
Yeah, wow. Well. Oh, this got dark in a hurry.
Yeah.
We'll open it up. I'm Cyrus Mornozavi of Kirkland, Washington. With me tonight online via the magic of Google Hangouts or YouTube Live, whichever you want to call it. Probably being accosted by millions of foreigners in Austin, Texas, because it is South by this week, are Ariel Rodriguez and Keyshawn Xavier.
Hello.
Jesus Christ, you are so right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I have to say, your Instagram feed's making me a little homesick, Ariel.
Yeah, you know, I try to, you know, show the few marvels that I can tolerate to go see with the
marvels
crowds being
DCs.
There. Oh, ha. Mostly DC, I guess. Marvel, I mean, they had a premiere of the Cloak and Dagger TV show, but I couldn't make
no
it.
No shit.
Yeah. I mean, no it's shit. Like first come, first serve. If you have a badge, you get in preferentially, but I didn't have a badge and I didn't want to make a 3-hour line to go see an episode of something that will be out later this year. So
I heard that it's either today or it's going to be a week from today that the premiere for Ready Player One is happening here. I literally heard that today. I saw it online that I saw it today, but I'm not sure. It said Sunday. I didn't know if that meant today or a week from now, and I'm poking around trying to find it.
Are you positing that it's Sunday, book. Sunday, one day only? Is Klein still in Austin?
Yeah, I think he is.
Oh, Alamo's got to be doing something fun for that, right?
You would think.
Yeah, it's on. Why in the hell CNN Monday? CNN Money has it, but yeah, it's premiering at South by.
Okay.
But it only says like
because it's totally money.
You know, it's bad when you're from Texas and you're afraid to pick on CNN because then everybody will make other interpretations from that. But when they say it's just premiering on Sunday, that's just bad reporting. I want to know when.
You're good though. You're not referring to it as failing CNN.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. Or low energy or anything like that.
All right, good deal. Because at least they're telling us, but it just says Sunday night. I can't tell.
On the article?
Yesterday.
Okay. Well, that would make it today.
Yeah.
I think so. God, I would give anything to be able to go over there and watch that.
And I believe you.
All right.
That's okay. I can't give you a hard time. I met my hero last week.
Dude.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Tell stories.
Oh my God. Yeah, I guess this is going to be the con recap episode, huh? Between Emerald City and South By.
Yes, please. Regale us.
Yes.
Okay, so the adage that you shouldn't meet your heroes is, I think, more often than not, probably true. But in this case, it was totally great. I nabbed some awesome sketches, first and foremost. I got a Catwoman from Adam Hughes.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah. And then I stalked Adi Granov. In my opinion, the definitive Iron Man artist. And
right
got an Iron Man head sketch, completing my Avengers. Almost completing my roster. I still need a Scarlet Witch. But
where can we send money for you to help recoup your food money for the next month or two?
Wasn't that much, actually.
Oh, thank you. Oh, really? Now you have my
interest. Yeah. Now I have your attention.
That's right. I'm sorry. I knew you'd get my bad quote.
No, my where my rent money is going these days is Dwarven Forge D&D tiles. But that's a whole other thing.
All right, we'll get to that.
But no, so I'm meeting Brian Michael Bendis, whose career means a lot to me personally. Oh, yeah. That guy was he still is comics, let's be fair. But he was a big deal to me in the 2000s. Big part of the reason why Off Campus happened at all. Was that
really?
Gosh, was the crowd back in the day
with Powers? Is that what did it?
It was one of them because he brought back Matter back.
Okay. Yeah.
It's all the Image guys do it now, but at the time it was a relatively rare thing.
What's it called?
Back Matter. Back just the idea matter? Of the idea of talking about your disc 2 DVD stuff.
Gotcha. Sorry.
Making of.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I mean, it's in some, industries, it's gone away again thanks to streaming. But for a while there, it was there. And I'm totally a craft nerd in general, and that was a real big deal for me. And he changed the language of comics. Away from what we know, what Claremont and Moore and then Gaiman later did. It became all about characters talking to one another.
Yeah, but anyway. I like the decompression.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it goes too far, but I appreciate it.
Yeah. And like anything, you can do it badly or you can overuse it, but it's it was a quiver that we hadn't seen in the tool set there until he really popularized it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when he's firing on all cylinders, he's as good as anybody at it. But he came to Emerald City, to announce DC and to let everyone know that he survived that horrible MRSA scare he had late last year.
No.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Man,
that was insane.
Yeah. 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 Dude looks good though. Dropped a ton of weight before that, and he's as cool as you'd want him to be. I got 2 minutes with him. We didn't discuss craft or any of that stuff. We talked about the thing that's plagued Keyshawn and I for over 15 years.
Oh God!
Are you shitting me?
No. I only had 2 minutes, and he would totally he's our people, man. Like he didn't even think he was weird.
That surprises me.
I would assume not. But my God, that just had to be a great 2 minutes. How did you keep the smile from just being all over your face?
Well, his daughter being right there while I asked him about sodomy helped. Yeah. But I mean, this is the man who, he wrote what's now referred to as the monkey fucking issue. Guy's got a sense of humor.
True, true.
Yeah, so he was okay. He would not answer my question. Ariel, Keyshawn, and hypothetical listener, that I lost my cool. I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was something like, no, please, Ryan, come on. It's been 15 years. But I will tell you what he did tell me. We have stumbled upon the greatest controversy in all of Western comics, Keyshawn. He has not told anybody, and he confessed to me. And hopefully I'm not talking out of school. I don't want to get him in trouble. But I think this is just two people sharing a funny anecdote. So I think we're okay. If not, I apologize. that no less than Melissa Rosenberg, showrunner for Jessica Jones,
you're kidding me,
has asked him about this.
Oh my God.
He went on to say it's the only time she got mad at me because he wouldn't tell her either.
Oh!
Damn.
Wow.
Dude, this is like real news. Oh my God.
She was like, yeah, this is sodomy, right? I didn't say that was sodomy. I didn't say that. For the record, Key, and this is the closest I think we're going to get to an answer on this subject, so I hope it offers you some sucker. He's on Team Cyrus, or rather, she is on Team Cyrus.
She?
Yeah.
Wait. Melissa Rosenberg, you're saying?
Yes. Melissa Rosenberg. Yeah.
Okay.
She drew the same conclusion I did.
Oh my God, this is just, the plot goes deeper. This is the great, I love that he wouldn't answer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That means...
It's with a smile and the wink of an elf.
It's intentional. It's intentional. Oh my God.
Yes.
Did he give any suggestion that this has been something that other folks are, let me start over. This has been content that other folks have plumbed before, or is this something like I've been waiting for somebody to ask this in a public forum for 15 years and no one asked?
I got confirmation of the former. Because this came up in no less than in the Jessica Jones writer's room.
Oh, okay, wow. Yeah, but I mean in a public setting is where I was wondering. Like, I haven't seen, I've researched this.
I'm so scared.
I know you have too. My Google has
define research. Or maybe don't define research. We're getting into scary territory.
I thought that I needed to have a good size sample set of what anal looks like. And so I watched no less than 500 films, just the faces. No, I didn't watch all the back matter. I just watched the faces.
Back matter.
I use back matter. Yes. Just to see if faces would look like that. And then I realized that out of all 500, my sampling was warped because none of them were being plowed by Power Man. And so I couldn't get a good
sample. It's true. To my knowledge, Mike Coulter has not made any porn.
I can't believe this is the best thing that we've ever had on this podcast.
Wow. That's a bold statement.
Let me put it a different way. This one makes me happier, literally happier. I've laughed very hard on almost every podcast we've ever done. But this one makes me legitimate happy. That's amazing. That is awesome. So great.
It was a pretty incredible anecdote. I really appreciate him sharing it with me.
Even if
he just like didn't want to actually come out and say it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And you are brilliant for bringing it up. You are I wish you'd have recorded it.
I grappled with it, man, when I saw Sabrina. I was like, oh no.
I bet. Yeah.
Oh.
My goodness. So he's doing okay?
It's doing great. Looks great. He mentioned he said he had a scar that I didn't see it. So,
Yeah.
It's some scary ass shit. But yeah,
it seemed
yeah.
like he lost a lot of weight, and I assumed that was something from the hospital stay.
No, he kicked the carbs.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and He's always been an avid cyclist. I knew way too much about this guy. I sound like a stalker. But
a lot of Bendis tapes. You hear enough Bendis tapes, you get a good.
Yeah, that's why.
Let's just leave it at that.
But yeah, he lost weight beforehand, and he's confessed on Word Balloon, and to the panel he held there that probably helped save his life. That he was healthier when he got sick. But yeah, he's a cool dude, and he's super jazzed to be working on Superman, and I'm jazzed for him. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Yeah, very me cool. too. What did he impart, if anything, about Superman and what's coming up there?
Oh, well, he's getting the trunks back.
Yeah. How are they going to explain that? You know, I'm okay with the whole, like, and I'm talking about in continuity, like, you know, when they kind of made the shift over,
you know, I could get that, but making the shift back, that's harder. That's more. I'm going to have to read it just to find out how he looks. Well,
I believe it will be addressed. I'm putting mine away. I'm back on backwards again. No, we're gonna see a lot of Lois Lane, which I'm super happy about.
I think that in the hands of Brian Bendis, that's
a great character when she's written well.
Yes.
Yeah.
When she's done well, it's just been a long time since we've seen her done well.
Yeah.
I'm picturing that he's been watching Wonder Woman and just going, "Oh, I can kill this. Give me Lois Lane. I can kill this. This will be great."
So at the South by Southwest DC Comics booth, they were giving out red underwear.
Are you kidding?
For the return. I am not kidding. I'm
totally
dead serious.
Believe it.
Did you get some?
No. Thank you very much.
Those are going to be collectibles.
Sure. Anything's collectible.
Hang on. I'm going to look online, see how much they're going for.
Did you go to a signing by any chance?
I did not. It was sold out. At least the first signing was sold out by the time
I've seen pictures from Bendis.
Opening day. But I didn't really have anything I wanted signed anyway, so I kind of passed on the second day.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been seeing pictures of him and Jim Lee and Frank Miller together.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like my – you know that question they ask you when you're like speed dating? You know, who would be at your fantasy dinner? I think that's it. Those three guys and maybe Eddie Vedder.
Wow. But
somebody's going to have to teach me how to flush your eBay search history.
Well,
I put in South by Southwest Superman underwear and things went dark from there.
Oh, God.
How was that going to go well?
My well, again, I've been drinking. And so I did this without thinking and then realized that, oh, no, what have I done?
Oh, God, I have kids. They're going to take them from me.
I'm just going to have to nuke this hard drive and start over. Well, if there are Superman-style underwear that were handed out in the deluge of other Superman underwear that's on eBay, I can't find it.
No.
So, America, if you're out there, send links to Cyrus Mortizavi on Twitter.
Well, fantastic. Just fantastic.
Yeah.
I remember to cut this all out.
Yeah,
right. But are you guys excited for Black Label?
Yeah, I mean,
Black what?
Black Label, the new imprint from DC.
I haven't heard about it. Tell me about it. What's up?
You got it, Cyrus.
Good. Well, sorry, I was mouth was full of dinner there. Black Label is their new. This is All Star lineup all over again. They're just renaming it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is fine. I that sounds pejorative. I don't mean it that way. It's not a new idea. We're just usually when they do this stuff, it's awesome. So they're going back to it.
Usually it's Scotch.
Right, and that's what they're riffing on with the name, obviously. But Kelly Sue DeConnick has taken over Wonder Woman.
That to me is the most exciting one of the group, to be honest. I mean, the Frank Miller Superman Year One stuff. I don't know, man. I have a hard time getting excited about it.
Yeah, there's been too many strikeouts with. Wait a minute, but he's writing it. Romita's going to illustrate it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That excites me a little bit more.
And there's like a Brian Azzarello Batman, I think.
Oh, that'll be good.
Where Joker dies, I think, and they have to like Batman and Constantine, I think, get together to figure out who did it and why and whatnot. I think I might be mixing. I think that might be right, or I might be mixing the two Batman stories that they announced together.
Man, I hadn't heard of this. This looks, I'm liking this.
Frank has been teasing a Superman story for over 30 years. So I don't know. We'll see if he's got any juice left.
Did you see what Snyder and Capullo are doing?
No.
They're doing Batman as well.
Oh.
It's called Batman Last Night on Earth?
Yeah.
where he's Batman's in a desert, unaware of what year it is, with the head of his all-time villain Joker alive inside a jar.
Sounds like an episode of Futurama.
That sounds brilliant. I don't know where they're going with that. That sounds that's something else. There's one that hadn't been done.
So
that's some Tom Hanks Castaway shit right there.
Yeah, it is. So if you guys look in the chat, I pasted a tweet from Dan Juergens exemplifying the underwear that was being passed out.
Ooh, there you go.
I'm so excited. Oh, yes.
It's in the group chat.
Yeah.
Hopefully I don't hang up.
Yeah, don't do that.
Or maybe you need a minute after you see it. I don't know.
Oh, blooded. I'm not seeing it. I suck. Never mind.
Well, now that I have you both in the year of our Lord 2018, I assume we've all seen the new Dave Chappelle stuff.
I have yet to see it.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it. I would love it if we called this podcast Pussy Juice, but I don't know quite how to set that up.
Oh, sir. Based on the stuff already, it's clearly got to be back matter. For more reasons than one.
Oh, yeah, that Chappelle stuff is great. Just great.
It was really good, I thought.
Was it better than the last group of two?
Yes.
I'm inclined to agree. The second one, because it was very... The setting clearly wasn't meant to be a special, suffers from some audio problems. But the first one, Equanimity, is really brilliant.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, that I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah. But I don't want to spoil, so I'll leave it be for the time being then.
All right, we'll bypass for next time.
Nope. No, I don't think you did. That's one of his favorite subjects.
Uh-oh, did I hang up?
Nope, you're good. Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to grab dinner here as we're working, so I'm unfortunately having to cut my mic. The other thing from Emerald City Comic Con, actually there's two other things I wanted to share with you guys. I got to attend the Voltron panel.
Cool.
It really was, and very enlightening. It turns out the Paladins of Voltron are the boy band of our time.
Are they?
This is the closest I suppose I'll get to having that Ed Sullivan Beatles moment. But those young girls, and it was predominantly younger young kids and of the female persuasion, were going nuts for that show.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Girls are all about LOTOR, evidently.
Oh, okay.
not that the Paladins themselves don't have their own, you know, their own following, but yeah, that really, I was expecting, you know, the age group of Keyshawn's sons, and what I got was a room full of Keyshawn's daughter.
Wow.
Yeah. Super heartening to see, just very unexpected.
Yeah. Yeah,
and have you guys watched season 5 yet?
Not yet.
No, but I kind of keep track of it a little bit because I want to know what my kids are going to be stumbling into.
Yeah, so,
I know that 5 is going in some real interesting directions, and it's making me want to go. Okay, I'm going to have to start watching with my sons just to catch up with all this.
Yeah, when you sit down, clear the time because you will watch it all in one sitting. It's that good.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I continue to be flummoxed at how good that show is. And it's some of the most fearless storytelling I've seen with established IP ever.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, it's really quite good. And I'm really looking forward to see it season 6 in June.
Man, they're just pumping those out. Like, it's pretty great. Like, I'm glad they're keeping up a good pace with them.
Yeah. Really good animation, too. Very nice seamless blend between the CGI and the traditional sales stuff. That's tricky too. That's not DreamWorks is killing it. Yeah, it's excellent. And that panel was really cool. I just did not expect that, but yeah.
Wow. And, did you guys hear about the Neil Gaiman line?
This sounds vaguely familiar.
So basically, they announced that Neil Gaiman's starting like a Sandman universe line of comics, with different authors taking different comics for that are still in the Sandman universe. It's a whole line.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Well,
shared universes are so hot right now.
They are indeed.
I love it. If I can get anything more about that's even remotely close to the caliber of Sandman, or even has the opportunity to be, I'll be all over it. I need good comics to start really cranking. I'm enjoying a lot of comics. You know, we haven't talked about them a lot on our podcasts, but I've been really.
Well, it had been a year since I've been Emerald City.
Man.
That's where I load up.
I could go. That really does. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I've had the impression over the last 4 or 5 years that Emerald City is really where the comic convention of the nation has gone to, because it can't really do San Diego anymore.
It's definitely also a comic convention, if you take my meaning. They've got the media guests and stuff too. Like last year, their big get was the Pathfinder, the two. It was Doctor Who, Tennant, and his companion, whoever the hell that actually is. I'm not familiar with that one.
The new one or the old one?
Yeah, I don't know which Doctor Tennant was.
Okay, all right.
But he's several iterations ago.
Okay.
But I think during Moffat's run.
All right.
But so they definitely got media, but this artist alley. I mean, it goes like from aisle A to like double J.
Dang.
Just to kind of give you an idea of the scope of it.
That's great.
It really is. I got sketches from two industry badasses.
Yeah, that's
incredible. I mean, I had to make a day of doing that, but I did do it.
Sure.
And if you actually care about the comics and not just the IP, you know, like I think a lot of people at Comic-Con do, yeah, I would argue it's the best one of all of them. I think it's at least number three.
What are the first two?
San Diego, of course, is still the be end all. New York, I'm told. I mean, and Ariel can speak to this, having been there now. Is just as big.
It's quite large for sure.
Yeah.
What, Artist Alley too?
Artist Alley is pretty big. I don't know if it goes from A to double J, but it takes up a lower floor, or a good chunk of a lower floor at the Javits Center. So it's quite large, if you ask me.
What's impressive about Emerald City is everyone there is at least good. many of them are great.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. The panels are not bad. I mean, that Voltron thing was fun. Like, we got to see the first episode a few hours early, so that was fun. Critical Role had a nice turnout. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that little corner of geekdom. Critical Role.
It's a D&D podcast, right?
It is the D&D. It's a D&D stream on Twitch.
Okay.
Really? It's a bunch of voice actors and Ashley Johnson playing D&D live. And they are really fucking good.
Huh. Wait a minute. Yeah. Is this the one where you and I were talking about the fella from Walking Dead?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, he was a guest star a couple weeks ago.
Cool.
Yeah, it's excellent.
I am looking it up.
The game has blown up as a result of it.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot more podcasts and streaming content centered around D&D and RPGs in general than there was a few years back.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It is ostensibly because of Critical Role and the fandom that it's initiated. It's the, the biggest, hardest core fan base I've seen outside of the Browncoats.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll be up your guys' alley, but it's well done. And yeah, two of them, Travis Willingham and Laura Bailey, who you guys, well, Ariel at least will know as Colonel Mustang and Lust, respectively, were there.
Uh-huh, right. The names ring a bell.
Yeah.
Wow, that's some pretty good voice actor.
Oh yeah. The DM is the same guy who's Levi from Attack on Titan.
Oh.
Yeah. And like a billion like video games and anime. Bailey has been all over the place. Any femme fatale that's in anime in the last 10 years, there's a pretty good chance it was Laura Bailey. that's kind of her wheelhouse. Yeah, Willingham's been around there. I think they were both in Halo 5 as well.
Okay.
So, yeah. And, of course, Ashley Johnson. At a certain age, you remember her as, you know, Chrissy Seher from Growing Pains, but more recently, she's been on NBC's Blind Spot, so. Yeah. No, it's a fun show, and it's really given me, personally, just a greater appreciation for the craft of acting, because you can watch them kind of fall in and out of their roles because of the nature of Dungeons & Dragons, and that's pretty cool.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. But yeah, the fan base is hardcore. I think, you know, for that, this is a Twitch stream, and I think they were behind Tenet and Billy Piper. I think the biggest draws there as far as media guests.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like that's saying something. Yeah. 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 Their first campaign, actually, it's like over 100 episodes. So I don't know that I could recommend it, but their new campaign 2 started this year. So if it's something you're interested in, you wanted to jump in, you could.
When did that start?
January.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's only 7 episodes out, so.
Yeah, I think I'd probably jump into that.
Yeah.
So, is it safe for kids?
It's not as, it doesn't skew as young as Voltron, but it's not Game of Thrones by any means.
Oh, okay. Good deal.
Watch, you know, it's, I think it's age dependent, Key. Watch it before you show it to the kiddos.
Yeah.
But Adventure Time, which is in the same milieu, I know is kid friendly, and that one they might dig. Or not Adventure Time. I apologize. Adventure Zone podcast. Adventure Time, Adventure is ironically not kid friendly.
I was kind of scratching my head, going, I didn't think that was kid friendly. I'm getting to the age where I'm toying with the idea of like starting a campaign with the kids.
Oh, you'll have a blast.
Well, you know, the problem is I've never done a campaign, period. Let me take that back.
No fear.
I've never run a campaign. I've done one with you guys, but never done one of my own.
Just learn the basic rules. Kids are great. They're still all about imagination. I mean, D&D is something they just do every day. They just don't know it.
That's kind of the thing that excites me about it.
Yeah.
They can bring the thunder in ways that I can't do anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, just remember the rule, yes and you're fine. Yeah. I our experiences with Dungeons & Dragons, Key, are somewhat atypical. I assure you it's not all mathematics. It's not like doing your taxes.
Yeah, that's been the thought. It was kind of like
Yeah, and I know that's why that's probably why you're hesitant, at least on some level. Now, watch Critical Role and understand what it can and should be.
Yeah.
But that does bring me out something I did kind of want to address this evening. The idea of like too much IP to consume. How are you guys dealing? How are you guys dealing with peak TV?
I'm quitting some.
Ooh.
I say some. I'm quitting a lot. There are guys that I probably would have stuck with that I have said goodbye to. Flash, Arrow. Oh God, what's that other god awful one?
They have five.
Legends of Tomorrow. Legends of Tomorrow. Say goodbye to that one.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have said goodbye to Iron Fist, but that one got me. Walking Dead.
Fear. Whoa, that's a big one for you to give up. Walking
Dead. They finally pissed me off enough that I quit it. I was like, there's too much other good stuff to watch somebody do this much stupid. So I got rid of that one. Supergirl. I watched that some with the kids, but as far as Ron and I, we're not consuming it like we were. So yeah.
So you're winnowing.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. That's
the right way to putting it. Cause they're just, God, there's so much good stuff. And when you watch a really good one and then you're done with that episode, you can't really turn and look at your significant other and say, want to watch Arrow?
No, I think you get your ass kicked saying that, something like that.
Right. You can't even bring yourself to do it.
In the words of the immortal Diedrich Bader. Yeah. How about you, Ariel? You watching more or watching less?
I'm watching differently, I guess. I'm not so concerned with being on top of the zeitgeist for every show. And some shows just have to wait until there's free time. So, you know, every year I'll be inevitably on some sort of long ass flight. I'll download a bunch of stuff. Netflix lets you download stuff. Amazon Prime lets you download stuff. And kind of batch it up and watch it. Sometimes my wife and I watch things together when we're flying together. But if I'm, on my own, or she has shows that she likes to watch that I don't like to watch, and vice versa, then I'll compartmentalize shows and kind of plan them out so that, I can consume the media. Maybe I won't get to some shows until summertime when a lot of other shows are off the air or just not generating new episodes to watch. And I'm kind of trying to shuffle things around a little bit. And I'm a little choosy, like never got into Gotham, so not watching Gotham. Gave up on The Walking Dead 4 years ago, watching that. So I kind of made decisions a while back. So there's definitely some of that. You always have to make decisions. But in general, I'm keeping up with stuff. Still watching Arrow, still watching The Flash, still watching Legends, still watching Supergirl, watching Black Lightning as well. But if it takes a couple weeks for me to get back to the episodes, I know I've got them. And I'll just get to them when I get to them.
Yeah.
Black Lightning started?
Yeah.
It's halfway through the season.
I was about to say, I think it's been on a while now.
All right. So
we're somehow in March already.
Yeah. Halfway through March.
I've already called out Arrow. Is Black Lightning, where would you rank that compared to, not Arrow of season one, but Arrow where it is today? Is it better than that?
Yes.
Okay. Then I will jump on that.
Give it a couple episodes and see where your head's at on it.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to. I just obviously trying to just. I'm already wading through a lot of stuff. Now I'm going to add another one in. I want to watch that one. The trailers look great.
Yeah, it's really good, and they it's a different vibe than the other CW shows.
That's as good a recommendation as you could have ever given that episode.
Yeah, I think I miss consensus television, that when we all watched the same handful of nerdy things, but there's just too much now.
Yeah,
isn't that great though?
Yeah, it is, and I need to shed the idea that this is somehow a negative thing.
Right, my God! I mean, we live in a world that. I mean, have you guys even watched The Runaways?
No. Nope. For example, I'm waiting till I have time to kind of.
Key just started The Punisher.
We loved it. Oh, we finished The Punisher. Oh.
I'm really enjoying it so far.
I loved it. I love that whole thing.
It's different, right? It's not the same kind of vibe as other Netflix, the other Netflix Marvel
Hero Show. No, it's not. It actually got me to stand up and cheer at one point. And, and for my old broken spine to literally get me some help to leap up, that's as good as I can give as a close to an Oscar from me.
Yeah. Okay, I'm real curious. I want to play a lightning run of Rushmore real quick. Because I think these may or may not be the same, and I'm really just honestly curious as to use the same word twice in the same sentence as to what this is going to be. What are the four shows that when they come back, whether network television or via these binge streaming services, that you're immediately in on? Are there four?
Are there four shows? When you mean by come back? When they return, next season.
Yeah. When they become available to see, and I'll go first just so I don't confuse the hell out of everybody. For me, it's Game of Thrones, Stranger Things. Yep. God bless. Voltron: Legendary Defender has made it in there. Believe it or not, and then probably Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Those are the ones I get super excited about when I can watch them, and I pretty much go to them immediately. I make time.
You're absolutely right about Kimmy Schmidt. Man, that show is spectacular. It wouldn't make my four, but that's just because that's one that feels more like I can watch it at any given time with my wife, and we'll be rolling laughing. God, man, you were right as rain about that recommendation. That is they squeeze so many jokes in so fast that
you got to watch them twice.
You can watch them twice. You'll be laughing and miss the next one. And not once. I mean, throughout the fucking episode.
Yeah, it's rapid fire. Yeah.
I love it. Oh, that actor that plays, I'm going to short out his name.
Titus Andromedon?
Andromedon, yeah. Titus Andromedon, yeah.
Oh, my God. How he doesn't win an Emmy, I don't
know. Yeah, that's a good question, frankly.
I'm sorry, but man, out of all the characters on any medium, he is one of my favorites. I laugh just thinking about him, for God's sake. For me, to answer your question, Game of Thrones for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, with Stranger Things, yeah, that's like must see. You got to watch it that night. I would go with Legion. That's coming back.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
And, more and more, I'm trying to see if anybody would knock this one out of its role, but sticking with television, I'd have to say probably Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
For That's a great, show, right? It's gotten really a lot better over time.
I'm hearing great things about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I can't believe what started as like I'm sure there's a podcast, I'm certain that we talked about this, where I had to make it through like 8 or 9 episodes. I have to go back and listen to see which episode number it was, where I was just ready to quit it from almost the second episode and stuck with it. And then every season has gotten incrementally better and better and better. And the last two, particularly the most recent one, their self-awareness of the shit they've gone through makes the show even better. Oh, I wish they would integrate it more with the rest of the Marvel Universe because I love it so much.
Same. I'm with you there, man.
I wonder if they felt burned by the backlash when they basically treaded water for 2/3 of a year to integrate with Winter Soldier.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Could that be an overcorrection?
I don't think it's an overcorrection because I think instead of treading water, man, they're like forging whole new rivers of their own, canals that they're of their own fucking story. And then, you know, hey, if the rest of the Marvel Universe tags in every once in a while, I think they corrected it as great as they could. But now I'm kind of like the rest of the Marvel Universe, at least maybe television or some avenue. I know that they're kind of split in their own little worlds, but boy, they ought to be tying into it because it's one of the really great ones now.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. No, I'm just gonna throw it on the heap of shows that I don't have time to watch.
Oh man, I hear you. Again, when you get on your long flight, that's a good one to jump onto. But you can probably skip to like season 4 and be okay.
Okay.
Don't do season one because then you'll.
Oh, no, no, no. I know that. So here's my question, my follow-up question to that, because I think this is an important strategy. If you are going to skip around like that to get the choicest bits and tenderest pieces of meat, how would I do that without being lost?
I think for season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's actually like a guide that gives you the kind of definitive path through season one already.
Nice.
Like yeah, cliff notes
kind of,
or
yeah, that's like, well, you need to know like these characters are specifically developed in these episodes, and there's like two or three episodes that kind of are the milestone points that set things up for the where after Winter Soldier. So just watch this like 5 to 7 episodes, then skip to like the second to last and watch that one and the last one. There's some order to it that
The reason I'm asking is twice within the last season, I have, like Key, I'm getting very, very choosy about what I watch because I have to. I'm culling the hamburgers for the steak, so to speak. And as a result, I dropped Star Trek Discovery violently and almost immediately, as we discussed here previously. And as we also discussed in this immediate episode prior to this one, I damn near bailed on The Magicians, and that would have been a mistake.
What show?
The Magicians on Sci-Fi.
Oh, I don't know this one.
Oh, man.
It's not quite on my Rushmore, but it's real close.
Oh, shit.
It's really good.
This is one of those great podcasts that we have about once every 6 months that kind of gives me all sorts of awesome new content to go hunt down and then try and squeeze in with the rest of the content I'm already doing. The Magicians. Got it.
Yep. Yeah.
Shit. Are they on season two or three?
They're on season three.
Oh, Jesus.
But they've adopted the shorter season format. Seasons one and two are on Netflix, 26 episodes. Put the kids to bed.
Yeah. That is not a family friendly show.
No, there's episodes where Cyrus is just like, ah! I'm just putting that out there.
Whoa, okay.
Bring a jar for your tears.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not all of them, but there's a couple.
Oh, wait a minute. I left out Westworld. Son of a bitch.
Well, you only get four.
Damn it.
But Westworld's on there for you?
Yeah, Westworld.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll drop Legion, even though I fucking love that show. But Westworld's even better. Yeah. Sorry, it's been so long since Westworld was on, and I know we're on the
cusp. But it's around the corner.
Guys, I need help, by the way, and I'm casting out.
Uh-oh.
Westworld was like highly rapey.
Key, I'm going to stop you for a sec. You broke up for it. Go back to I'm casting out for help.
Okay. I'm casting out for help from my friends because the first episode of Westworld was highly rapey.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And the rest of the show is, you know, got a lot of sexual content, but it's not that violent. At least, there's certainly violence. I'm not trying to make a light of it. It's just that first episode particularly was pretty strong with it.
Absolutely.
And I need help coming up with the right pitch to tell my wife that, like, this is an amazing, amazing show with amazing acting and amazing story.
And am I hearing that she pulled a Cyrus and bailed early?
She saw the first episode and was like, that is too much for me.
That's... Okay. So number one, don't watch The Magicians with her.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah. Okay. And or Outlander for that matter. as a specific strategy, just I guess it doesn't happen again? Question mark.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty weak sauce argument.
Yeah.
I already tried that one. Yeah, okay, well...
Ed Harris is old man. He can only do it once a season. I don't want to...
Right.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Oof. All right, America. They're just suggestions, Keyshawn. I gotta sell this. All right, Ariel, what's your four?
I there's no way I can do four. Just not even gonna not gonna bother wasting time on that.
Good guys, I'm picking up my money. I'm just walking away from the table.
Yeah, cash me out. Here's a couple chips for the dealer.
Say hello, you motherfucker.
The only way is not to play. The only way to win is not to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the Kobayashi Maru. You can't win. You just, yeah. I really was just testing your characters.
What's the number that you could do?
I don't even know, because I feel like it changes for me. You know, like I'm more fluid with my time. Like, you know, if a season starts to slow down in one show to the point where like I can wait two or three episodes, and then something new comes out that I'm excited to start in on, I might juggle two or three shows, before finishing them. Versus,
to be fair, I do that as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure that everybody does some of that. I'm much more willing to like pause something and go check something else out, and it might not be because it's on my Rushmore. It's just I'm in the mood to do that, and sometimes I'm not. Okay. Sometimes I'm in the mood for let me just finish this, regardless of how I'm feeling about it. I want to finish this. It's pretty fluid.
Are there four out there that would just automatically trump whatever you're watching and be like, oh, "This is out. Okay, I'm watching this immediately."
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, I like so many different shows relatively equally. I mean, Game of Thrones is gonna. I guess Game of Thrones is probably on there just because. You know, that's something we watch. My wife and I watch week to week when it's out, and we make
which these days that's a big deal.
Yeah, I suppose it is. With so much good stuff out there.
Yeah, appointment television is just not a thing anymore.
Yeah, and it's rare for us to miss a week. I mean, it's happened like to miss a week where we don't watch it the day it comes out. Like on HBO.
Yeah, Go. To make it work, where it's like must-watch TV, where it's like, oh, it's Sunday night, this night is for that, you know, that's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, like outside of talking to you guys and maybe one or two other people, you know, every now and then, I don't really have a water cooler to gather around and discuss, so I just don't do that. So it's less important for me to be on it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I suspect even if you did hypothetically, you would discover that you're all watching different shit.
Yeah. Or at least the same stuff at different rates and different paces and different schedules, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting times. And it's frankly costing Hollywood money.
Boy, do I love it for us, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like drinking from the fire hose. I can't believe we live in an era where shows as far down the totem pole as Runaways and Luke Cage are actually exist, and they're good. Legion, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a C-list comic, although the one they're basing it off of was fucking amazing. But still, you know, that's a great television show. And the fact that it's even on and going into a second season is just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I think Lucifer's going into season 3 or 4, right?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
I watched the beginning of that, and I just didn't get caught into it.
Yeah.
Mainly too many other things going on.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Big Bang Theory is going into, like, season 20? What?
12? It's on season 11.
God.
It's, you know, it's okay still. They've really grown those characters over about 11 years, more than sitcoms usually do. It's been rather impressive, actually.
We're working our way through it. We're on season 2.
Okay.
We've been working on it for about 5 years.
Yeah.
We just, every once in a while, we'll watch one.
Yeah.
Which is actually more of a hassle because now that it's syndicated, we have to dodge it on syndication because it might be ahead of where we are.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, okay. They're so short, though. I'm surprised you guys don't bang them out faster than that.
That's literally how little time we have. And it's if we have, honestly, we probably would have banged them out faster, but your suggestion to Kimmy Schmidt killed.
Yep. Yeah. And Tina Fey does trump all when it comes to comedy.
If I'm the only one that watched episode one and did not realize until, and I'm going to remember this about Kimmy Schmidt first and foremost before everything else, that I didn't realize till the second episode that the song that was being played at the front of the episode was actually like, oh, that's the intro. Because in the first episode, I thought that was just like part of the show.
Oh.
No, so I realized that.
And now the fact that they play every single time I watch Kimmy Schmidt, and it goes, I can't hit the skip intro button because it cracks me up every time. I laugh my little stupid.
It's pretty clever.
Every time. Oh, God. I love that show. They brought in Del Mar, and I was just ecstatic. I'm sure he has a real name, but he's such a good actor. He's so well-spoken and eloquent, and then he plays some of the greatest stupid characters I've ever seen, including Del Mar and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and that's why I always...
Oh, I'm not familiar with this this actor. Who are you referring to?
Her stepfather? The police officer? Kimmy's stepfather. He's the sheriff that like got stuck in the tree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Complete idiot.
It's been a while.
Hang on. Let me look up his name.
Yeah, and I have his face in my head. But I don't remember.
I completely forgot he was in the show. It's been a while since I've seen those.
I can't remember his name, honestly. Son of a bitch. No, I don't even think he's on the current season. And it'd be faster to look up Oh Brother.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'll find it here.
No, don't worry about it. This is making incredible radio.
Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah. Who was also in the Incredible Hulk film.
Yeah, that's right. He was the brain. What's his name? The leader.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
But in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, he was the stupidest one in a trio of stupid. And he was great. And he's also great in Kimmy Schmidt. I just love that guy.
How long are you on it?
I am in the middle of season two. Almost to the end of season two, I think.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to go too fast because I fucking love that show so much that we can just like pop it in and watch 30 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Not that long. And I mean, it is guaranteed guffaws. The one where she was getting her picture taken at the DMV and her driver's license and it has a rat falling from the ceiling on her head. I laughed for 20 minutes. I had to pause it. And they just flashed that joke all of about a split second. It wasn't even a full second they did that joke. And my wife had to pause it so I could just finish giggling and then giggling some more. And it's not just the joke. It's how fast they throw it out. That makes me laugh even harder.
Oh, yeah. There's just so much throwaway shit. Like, there's one episode where Titus is drinking spaghetti sauce out of a jar, and I don't even know why. It's just like it's something to do while he's having a conversation with someone else.
Yes. Oh. And the little the robot that got invented in the first season that still shows up in the background randomly. And they don't even make any mention of it ever.
Yep. Oh, man.
I mean, somebody has just hit their stride on this show. You know, and it's a shame. I wish if only there was some way I could get online and just tell people how much I appreciate their work.
Some sort of social media.
Yes. If only.
Oh yeah.
That was so stupid. So anyway, yeah, I think those are my big four right now.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Although I'm Audrey Plaza, that's her name. That woman makes that show Legion just brilliant. Mm. If you don't know the actress, she's amazing.
She was on Parks and Rec as well.
Oh, was she? I missed that entire cultural zeitgeist. I missed the entire thing. And so many great.
I missed that and The Office.
And I didn't miss The Office, but I guess I'm trying to point towards those type of shows where they're the start for like half a dozen people that end up like Freaks and Geeks. Everybody on that show then went on to be huge. And I feel like the one we just mentioned is the same type of thing. Parks and Rec. I mean, obviously, the one from Saturday Night Live, she was already big, but I feel like there's so many folks that have spawned off of that.
You know, Scott Pilgrim versus the World was like that.
Oh my God, yes.
Which is super weird to think about.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I love that movie's near and dear to my heart.
Oh, likewise.
Another one I can't believe exists. I can't even believe it's even real. Mm. Boys, I think we're having a real hardcore Avengers movie coming our way here in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, all I keep on hearing about are endings. They keep talking about endings. So I'd like to ask you fellas, and I'm not spoiled at all other than just seeing interviews and stuff like that, and they're not really being that spoilery. What your thoughts are when they're talking about endings, where this thing is going. What do you guys, because obviously I love these Marvel movies and I love the whole Marvel universe, and I've got to somehow rectify that I want this love to go on forever, but I know that contracts can only last so long. So what
and do you actors think do age, except for Tom Cruise.
What do you want them to do? Yeah, right. What do you want?
We had a whole thing last time.
My questions to you guys are, A, what do you want them to do? And B, what do you think they are going to do?
Well, last episode, I did throw out one prediction. Only one I feel comfortable with, but I feel strongly about it. I think we are going to see Sebastian Stan as the new Cap.
No shit.
I think Chris Evans getting a little older, and I think the fact that Sebastian Stan's contract was for, I think, 17,000 films, not the actual number, but it was substantial, would belie the fact that they saw that the Winter Soldier was going to be a big part in their post-phase four plans. Beyond that, I really don't know. Does the Vision get out of this thing alive? I mean, doesn't he kind of have to die to to give Thanos the gauntlet?
You think, right? I mean, yeah. it seems like at least, you know, theoretically he's on the chopping block, just, you know,
yeah,
logically speaking.
Well, bad things happening to Paul Bettany in his career is kind of par for the course too. So, and I don't say that lightly. I love that man. I wish he would get a better agent, him and Tom Hardy both. But, yeah, I feel like he kind of has to have that thing ripped out of his head.
Yeah.
For this plot to work.
Did you guys see the Entertainment Weekly covers and all that stuff?
If you're talking about the one with the three of them as they look now, I saw that.
You mean the all 22 covers or whatever that they had, or it's 19 or whatever it was?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and in there they have like a shot of Thanos grabbing a moon with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, I've only heard the description, but my God.
There's a screenshot of it now, and that's just with the space and power gems.
I saw the leaked trailer from Comic-Con a year and a half ago. It had him doing that.
Yeah, that was like the other Ed O'Sullivan moment, apparently, getting to see that damn trailer.
Yeah. I'm just curious. Do you think they're going to kill off Robert Downey Jr.?
I think they will.
He's awfully expensive.
Yeah. From a budgetary perspective.
If they're going to do a pull of comics and like a wipe of reality type of thing and make like a different Iron Man.
I think one or both are definitely on the table. Either they kill him and then they reboot the universe later and he shows up as a different actor, or or they just kill him and move on. I agree. I think it'll happen.
I've always been a proponent of the conspiracy theory that this is why Riri Williams exists.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
And why they're so bummed that she didn't work out.
I mean, did she not work out, or is it just Brian Michael Bendis left?
Well, no. We know from the retailer summit last year that Marvel was selling poorly. And the retailer's feedback was, it's because you guys took all these legacy characters and replaced them with an unknown at the same time.
Yeah.
In your push for diversity, you forgot to make them a McRib, and everyone got mad and went home.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I there are some of the new characters that I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. Riri, I was kind of mixed emotions about. Parts of her I like, but it just felt too like spoon-fed. Like she's just Iron Man on day one. And I was like, they should have grown it more. There was potential there, but it just seemed too fast.
I think that was one of the gripes across the line, is everything felt very forced.
Yeah. Although I will tell you, Falcon as Captain America grew on me as it went. It got better like as it went along. And then they ripped it right away.
That's an old trope that it seems like it's always Captain America. Having different guys run with that makes for very interesting stories.
Yeah.
So they've done it, what, 5-6 times now?
Yep. But boy, I really like Black Falcon, good lord. Falcon as Captain America. I actually, that one got really good. What he was doing with it was pretty neat.
Yeah, I think Nick Spencer's run on Cap was actually pretty well regarded once the initial hysteria died down.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that Secret Empire. It was pretty good.
Yeah,
he's writing Spider-Man next?
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ta-Nehisi Coates is going to start writing Captain America in the summer, and I think Nick Spencer takes over Spider-Man.
That's an interesting pick.
And Dan Slott. Oh, yeah, it's going to be awesome. And then Dan Slott takes over Iron Man, I believe.
That I'd heard. Okay, yeah.
I really want that. It seems weird. It seems like Iron Man was their like go-to comic for the longest time, and then it seems like they stuck it in the background. They like just squashed Stan Lee because they were killing it.
When do you feel like it fell off in quality?
Boy, that's tough. Probably around Civil War II. So okay. I'm trying to remember who they had writing it at that time. But you know, they killed off Tony Stark.
Right.
And you know, what better way to end this Tank Iron Man, just take away the main character. I know they've got him as like a AI.
He's Jarvis now, right?
Yeah, he's Jarvis now. Although they're making little allusions, kind of like he's going to be like lose his mind and try and like take over the world like Ultron or something like that. So it might go that path. But and then bring back the real one to stop him. Now, that would be a fun one where you know, real Tony Stark against fake Tony Stark. That would be Civil War III, I assume. God, I hope I didn't just call that. And you send out another tweet a year and a half from now. I'm going to call it on the podcast. No. Speaking of, help me remember that character's name.
Which character?
Is it Bloodshot? From Valiant.
Yeah, Bloodshot is Vin Diesel, right?
Yes. dear God, when I saw that tweet from you, Cyrus, I laughed for about 15 minutes.
Oh, I couldn't even read that article, brother. I saw the title. I was like, son of a bitch. They did it. You maniacs. You blew it up.
Damn you all.
I went full Charlton Heston. I was like, yep, someone gave Rob Liefeld 7 figures for that ridiculous Marvel, no Marvel studio he created.
Oh, my God. There's sure some things I would love to see and other things that I'm like, no, no. Yeah. You could do a good Bloodshot. Oh, you could also do an epically bad Bloodshot. I'm kind of hoping for either.
There's no with Extreme Studios properties. They're all just R-rated versions of Marvel stuff.
Yeah, but what Bloodshot? That was Valiant, though.
Bloodshot is Valiant. Studio stuff is a separate deal with Netflix. Yeah.
Oh, good. So he got more money.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for Valiant. There was some good stuff there.
Isn't that like Exo Manowar and stuff too?
Yeah.
Oh my God! If they ever casted and made an Exo Manowar movie, I think I might dress up for it.
Give it 5 years.
I tell you, I know
man, I'm taking that long. Wait a minute, there's another Iron Man. Let's do this. The kids like Iron Man. All right, let's do something else that's like an Iron Dude. Bam.
Could we have it where it's mixed with Conan? Excellent.
Yeah.
Next Halloween, I know you guys already covered this, but next Halloween, you probably didn't cover this part. I'm going to dress as a bald-headed black lady for Halloween, a Wakandan.
Like, you're going to dress up as a Dora Milaje, is what you're telling me.
Surprisingly, that did not come up on the podcast. Or in my mind,
any of them. Any bald-headed Wakandan.
So that's what Black Panther meant to you, the ability to cosplay.
Damn right. Blackface. I was like,
let's move.
Fantastic.
that was literally the first and foremost thing that was going through my mind in that thing. Was like, I love this movie so much. Forrest Whitaker's character, all I need to do is just paint some stuff on my face, and I could be the white Forrest Whitaker from Black Panther.
Jesus.
And I think everybody would be like, that's freaking awesome.
Guys, I'm Forrest Whitaker. Get it?
Oh, God.
You're wrong for that. But now I'm going to
have really?
To
Really? You're putting this on me?
I love that movie. I absolutely loved it. I think all the characters are awesome.
Let's call a spade. Forrest Whitaker is the unofficial fourth member of this podcast as often as he comes up.
Wait, not Louis Gossett Jr. before Whitaker?
No, Forrest passed him, man.
Forrest passed him with Black Panther. If Louis Gossett Jr. would have been in Black Panther, it would have won an Oscar.
He was the only one who wasn't, I think.
Oh my God.
What was he and LeVar Burton doing?
No kidding.
Their reputations to that movie?
Oh man, they should have had. I'm hoping, you know, they're talking about spinoffs and they're talking. I was sitting there, and that's the first time in my that I can remember. I shouldn't say in my life, but that I can remember that I watched that and went, I really wish that place existed in the real world. That I loved that whole city setup and just the lay of the land that they established for Wakanda. I was like, that is the coolest damn. They gave it a culture all of its own. That was great. And I wanted to be dressed up as a black Wakandan woman. They are the most badass characters I've seen in a Marvel movie in years. And that's after Thor Ragnarok. They were incredible.
I have nothing to add to that.
Anyway, I know you guys are
that argument carries so much weight on its own.
I wanted to throw in my 2 cents Black Panther. Because as I watched it, I was just like, God, you know, I turned around,
it made me want to be a woman. That's how good it was.
Yeah. I would gladly be a tiny black badass woman with bald head kicking ass 6 ways from Sunday. They were everything you could ever want a badass to be. And then my wife looks at me and goes, you realize she's from Walking Dead, right? And then my jaw hit the floor. And I could not believe it. That woman's played two of the most epic badasses I've ever seen. She's
right on.
The Wolverine of The Walking Dead.
That's Michonne or whatever the hell.
Michonne. She's the Wolverine of The Walking Dead. And then she came onto this movie and just was more badass. And I couldn't believe it. I'm so happy we live in this world.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever.
Exactly.
Fuck yes. All right. So sorry for my diversion.
No, that's fine. Just as a kind of maybe a summarizing thought, it crossed $1 billion domestically today.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. But to circle back to your original question from 20 minutes ago, Key, I do not have any idea what the hell the post-Infinity War Avengers, or excuse me, Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to look like.
So, second part, what would you want them to do?
I would want them to not kill Iron Man.
Most perfect thing ever. I would actually like Robert Downey Jr. to take the place of Stan Lee at some point and just showing up in random movies. Make him a watcher, you know?
Yeah.
Go for the gold.
I was so delighted when Gwyneth Paltrow decided to just show up for Spider-Man last year.
Yes. That was a great scene too.
Yeah.
Those two are great together in those flicks.
They're fantastic. And I know she had kind of said, yeah, I think I'm probably done with the character, but you know, good on her. She made time just to shoot a fun scene. That's definitely the character I most associate her with, too, in her filmography.
Did you guys see... and this might be a stupid question. This shows how much I watch stuff online and really don't know what's going on in the real world. There's the new movie...
Did you guys know Trump is president?
No, actually, he's not. According to my wife, it's Kiefer Sutherland. She's created an entire... She was telling me about how much she loves that show, Designated Survivor, and I looked her dead in the eye and said, "Sweetheart, you've decided to make him your real president, haven't you?" And she kind of looked at me and was like, "Yes, I have." Oh, so anyway, I.
Well, my solution was to take up drinking, so you know we all cope in different manners. I'm sorry, I cut you off for like that dumbass joke. What were you saying?
I have no idea.
Perfect.
I lost it.
You were saying something about you don't usually follow real world stuff.
Oh, yes, that's right. The movie that came out with a good looking woman that's an assassin.
And Red Sparrow.
There's been two. There's Red Sparrow, and then there was the other one.
Atomic Blonde last year.
Atomic Blonde. And there's rumors starting to bandy about a Black Widow film. And I guess I wanted to ask you guys. I'm like, well, between these two that have already come out, what is the Black Widow film going to do? Because I feel like there's been at least two Black Widow films that didn't have Black Widow in the title.
You're picking at a real sore spot for me. Errol, you go.
Man, we've covered this, I think. It's long overdue. I think, you know, Marvel has other things to leverage too, just like she, you know, Black Widow cameos in other films. I think, you know, she could be the main character in a spy thriller and have some other characters kind of show up, which I think would be great. And they could leverage, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is unique. I don't think Red Sparrow or Atomic Blonde could say the same.
Okay.
So there's that.
I'm with you.
What'd you say?
I said I'm with you.
Okay. Yeah.
I like the portrait you're painting.
I mean, they have Mockingbird in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it would be cool to like have someone like that show up as another spy that she interacts with.
Ooh.
And you know, there's all kinds of cool ideas you can play with, right? They have this whole toolbox set up for the cinematic universe.
You can make three with her real easy. I mean, the answer is you take the Greg Rucka, Devin Grayson, J.G. Jones miniseries that pits her against her replacement from 18 years ago. And you make an incredibly awesome movie that makes all the money. Marvel elected not to do that.
Yep, that was a mistake.
And now Jennifer Lawrence is playing the exact goddamn character.
Okay.
Only they could have had Jennifer Lawrence play Black Widow. Okay, come on.
They could have had Jennifer Lawrence play Yelena Belova. They could have done that.
Yeah. God.
So, let me make that soreness a little bit. Worse.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you just hurt Cyrus.
Yeah. Well, no, Kevin Feige did.
Yeah, sounded like he's stuck in with a small ship.
Yeah, I just the dots were so easy to connect here. They just never did it. I don't know why.
Yeah, they've connected so many dots so great, and then this one is.
Yeah. Dead. Now we're. You know what? We're gonna make Ant-Man first. Okay.
But how could they not dots? That one's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm flummoxed by it. It's one of their rare misses.
Yeah. That's a good driving.
Yeah. It seems like a real easy $1 billion to add to the pile, and they just never pulled the trigger for some strange reason.
No.
I mean, especially when you consider they had ScarJo locked up in the role and the most bankable actress in the world.
It's to mind.
Now, to be fair, I and again, this is just more out of like love for human beings than being like prejudiced or anything. But hasn't she been like she? I know she was pregnant during the Avengers filming. Is she having kiddos? Because that would be the only thing I could think of that in the real world that they wouldn't necessarily want to broadcast. Well, she's been pregnant, so we can't make this movie, because that'd be a horrible thing to say.
I don't think that's the excuse.
No, because in the past, Hollywood, with their usual their progressive ideals towards women, usually just say that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Gal Gadot was pregnant when she filmed Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Another example. I think they just didn't do it due to sexism.
How the fuck is it that she was pregnant while they did Wonder Woman, but then when you look at Superman's...
I knew where you're going with this.
...face, what the fuck? You can't blame that on me. I say that fooling people with faces is harder than with bodies, because the human eye can detect a face better. That's just Hollywood trying to explain away bad effects that they did and blame the viewer.
They could also have just paid Paramount more money and have him shave the goddamn mustache.
Watch something online. It was one of the best postings on Reddit I've seen in a long time, because they had me laughing the whole time. Some like 18-year-old kid did took his own crack at it and did way better.
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
You see that?
Yep.
Oh, God.
It still looks weird, but
yeah, but it was better.
Yeah.
Or superior. Did I tell you guys? I can't remember if I told you guys on the last podcast that I participated in that I actually finally saw Justice League.
You did tell me.
Okay.
I'm going to Redbox it soon. I'll come back with a report when next we meet.
Yeah. I liked it more than I thought I would.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm hearing a lot of, which I don't know that that's a sterling endorsement, but it's something, I guess.
It's like finding shit in your living room floor and going, well, at least I didn't step on it.
Oh, well, that's really not making it sound good.
Way to drop the bar.
That's where I want to put it. Where I want to put the bar for that movie is right there. They shit on my floor, because it should have been so much better. Should have been so much better, but...
Yeah.
There's too much of my hope that's embedded in that thing for me to be an accurate judge. Other than just to be angry about it.
It's tough. I mean, Marvel has just done such a good job. No Black Widow notwithstanding, that the bar has been raised pretty high. And we've forgotten that for, you know, so long when we were all young men, that these movies tended to be bad almost unilaterally. Sure. And there was Joel Schumacher did make two Batman films.
Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah. I wrecked my car. I was so distraught after Spider-Man 3. I mean, these things happened.
I would be remiss if I didn't at least make mention that Star Wars Rebels just had its series finale after 4 years. And
did they win?
I loved it. They took something that I thought was stupid and made it awesome.
So that's your Voltron.
I didn't want to take any more of your time than that.
No, that's fine. It's on my pile. It's just not on anymore.
It doesn't need to be that high on your pile, but you can probably go and hit a few pieces and be okay.
Key, I'm going to give you the last word, and then we're going to get out of here. What should my expectations be for Solo here in May?
Oh, Jesus, Harold.
That was a scene.
The death that all of the rumors have been like the main character, the guy can't act.
Yeah, they brought an acting coach in. Yes. I heard that as well.
And then the fact that when you watch all the trailers and literally it's everything but the main
Yeah, I also found that worrisome.
Help your men is all I'm saying. Now, if they had some neat little moment or something like that, that kind of, it needed to be more than a moment. It needed to be like 10 to 15 seconds of something like where he pulls it off. And it scares me that they could not create that for this trailer. At least
That's a really good point. Unfortunately.
Now, some genius out there, which I guess it doesn't take much of a genius, because once I started thinking about it, I realized that you could almost take any trailer and put it to Beastie Boys Sabotage and make that trailer awesome.
But that's J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, some genius did it with the Solo trailer, and it worked like a fucking charm, and I was all of a sudden very pumped for this movie. So I've had to reassess, try and pull myself back. Look, that's just the Beastie Boys. That's your love of the Beastie Boys. Don't let it make you excited for something that they weren't even smart enough to do. So there's my answer. I hope that was an answer. I think it was an answer.
Yeah, it was. Ron Howard makes good movies. And it seems like it should be a good movie, but so if they screw it up, it's going to be kind of a bummer, but eh.
Donald Glover looked exactly the amount of pimp I wanted. And I will say this, if the entire movie fails, but Lando is a pimp, I will consider it a success.
That makes me feel better.
I have to say that at the end of the day, that's really all I want out of this world.
Yeah, he doesn't even say anything. He just looks smooth. I was with you on that one. Yeah. I was like, wait, why don't we just make Lando a Star Wars story?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. Don't get me started. Yeah, that could happen all day. Frankly, I would take a Lando story. I want prequel Lando. I want sequel Landos. I want Lando all about. You want
a Lando cinematic universe is what you're saying.
I want a Lando. That has a little subtitle. A Lando story.
Lando, a Lando story?
And there's your title, folks.
Keyshawn Xavier of Austin, Texas, thank you so much. Follow him at TboneWhyNot on the Twitter. Or, answer him. I don't remember what your horrible query was, but something about Superman's underwear.
Yes.
That's where you can DM him.
We got that from Ariel.
Good. Yeah, but don't DM Ariel Rodriguez of Austin, Texas at Twitter.
Yeah, it's all right. They're closed. No thanks.
I got all the underwear I need.
Yeah, thank you for having me, though.
Of course, man. I've been Cyrus Morozovi of Kirkland, Washington. You can follow me at greatswordstudios.com. Been posting a lot of character art recently for my upcoming D&D campaign setting. So be looking at that. This episode of Full of Sound and Fury and previous episodes of Full of Sound and Fury can be listened to at fullofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes. This has been a Great Sword Studios production. Copyright 2018.
Wakanda forever, motherfucker!